We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
It's Monday, October 25th. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Gabe Goodwin. This is Jeff Schwartz of Smart and You. We're powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. We will get into what we learned about in this glorious week of college football. Kind of a reset week a little bit, right? Not much happening. So we talk about the stories that are still around, including the LSU job, the USC job, Cincinnati, some playoff talk, some Heisman talk. But first, Gabe, you are Jinx. We'll get to that as well. But you completed another mini triathlon. You survived, and now you... What's that look for? Now,
why'd you put mini in? What do you mean mini? I did a real triathlon. It's not an Ironman, but it's a full-on triathlon.
Oh, I thought it was only the Ironman. Really?
No, Ironman's for psychopaths, man. I didn't do an Ironman. I did a triathlon, but it was a real one, like a full-distance one. Like I was going at it for over an hour and a half straight.
Okay, so what? Tell me the distances again, because you texted to me. So is a triathlon always the same distance until you get to an Ironman, and then it's different?
There's a sprint distance, an Olympic distance, and an Ironman. An Ironman is insane. We don't need to talk about that.
Which one did you do?
The sprint.
Okay,
so the shortest, but it's not mini. I mean, you know, Notre Dame's win over USC wasn't a mini win. It's just like maybe a less impressive win than if they beat Alabama. You know, there's grades to this.
So it was an hour and a half straight.
Yeah.
You swim in the ocean?
Yeah, about 0.4 mile swim in the ocean, 15-mile bike ride, 5K run, all back to back.
I feel like I could do that if I train hard enough.
Come out here and do it with me. You could.
How long take you to swim?
I don't know exactly. I think it was in about 15 minutes.
Oh, I can't swim that long for that.
Yeah, and through the waves, straight. Too. It's hard.
Yeah, I would have to, like, after every minute, I have to just go on my back and rest for a second.
Some guys do that, yeah.
Yeah. The bike sounds fine. The bike's not a problem.
Yeah.
The running would be very miserable in my body.
We should be a tag team. We could get producer Hank. He can pick whatever he wants. I think I'm probably going to help the team most in the run. I think you should do the bike. I've seen you do a lot of output on Peloton. Let's see if Hank can swim. And if he can't, you know, goodbye, Hank. But let's hope he can swim.
That would be fantastic. We'll do a Jeff Schwartz Smart and You podcast relay team. All right, let's get to the topics at hand. Again, just like not a crazy weekend of college football. Some upsets, some unusual things, but... let's start with a team that I think, Gabe, me and you believe might be in the playoff this year.
We've done the number crunching. Look, face it, people. Cincinnati, this is the year. Jeff's been saying it for a few weeks. If they get past Notre Dame, this is their year. And now the path just looks very obviously theirs, right? So here's how I break it down. We're going to probably get two SEC teams because it's going to be Georgia, Alabama again. We think the winner and the loser, unless something fluky happens, both get in. It's looking more and more like Oklahoma's in. We'll get to them shortly. Then it just has to be Cincinnati, assuming they stay undefeated, because your Ducks and Ohio State just, I don't know, at one loss, it just doesn't seem like you can propel them past Cincinnati. So talk me off Cincinnati, or let's just spend a minute giving some love to Cincinnati.
So the realistic outcomes of the season are Cincinnati's undefeated, right? They have SMU left to play second to last week of the season.
They're having a nice year.
Yeah, but Cincinnati is at home for that game. They should win that game.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're probably going undefeated. They got Houston, Memphis, UCF. This is SMU's schedule. I'm sorry. I knew Cincinnati's schedule was not this difficult. I was looking at that's what I thought. They play Tulane, Tulsa, USF, SMU, ECU. So like they're going undefeated, guys. They're going 13-0. Georgia is not going to lose to anyone except Alabama in the SEC championship game. That's it. So they're in, even if they don't win the championship game, they're in, Gabe.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama's only in, I think, if they beat Georgia in the SEC championship game. If they don't, the two losses, they might be out.
Yep.
Even though Alabama might be the second best team in the country still, they're probably out with two losses.
That's fair. Thank you for fixing that. I said either way they're in. They're not in if they lose.
Yeah, I think if they go, if they lose to Georgia, and especially if they lose by more than
a
touchdown. Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Ohio State is playing much better football. They blew out Indiana. They won 54-7. CJ Stroud, the quarterback, kind of, was getting booed a little bit. Are we sure he's the guy? They're now humming. They've scored 59, 52, 66, and 54 in the last 4 weeks. They go to Penn State now, and now Penn State, we saw, lost this past weekend in a 9-overtime game. That was a 9-overtime game with 20 points because of the new overtime rules. Now, after the 2 overtimes, it's 2-point conversions back and forth, and they did not convert like 12 times in a row. It's wild. So they go to Penn State. They have Nebraska, Purdue, and they end with Michigan State and Michigan. So, look, there's a chance they do not go undefeated, but if they do, the rest of the way, they'll be 12-1. And Oregon obviously can be 12-1. I think Ohio State were to get in over a 12-1 Oregon team, even though Oregon beat them. Their schedule's tougher, and I guarantee Oregon's not going to be in over Ohio State. So that leaves, again, Georgia, Alabama, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Cincinnati, Oregon. Like the combination of those six teams. If they're undefeated, they're probably getting in, Gabe. Like I don't really see unless Alabama beats Georgia, and then so we have Alabama, Georgia in, Oklahoma State's undefeated. Are you putting in a undefeated Cincinnati or one loss Ohio State?
Well, I think you got to just do the Cincinnati just to, get rid of the claims that the whole thing is rigged. You can't pick Cincinnati over Ohio State this year, or Ohio the other way around.
Georgia or Alabama, whoever has the one seed. We'll dominate Cincinnati. Yeah. It will not be pretty. But it has to happen. It just has to happen. Like, we have to get it done one time so we can stop talking about this, about how, the mid-major can, mid-major, it's college basketball, a group of five team, they're in, they got their berth, and they'll get smoked. But, I'm sure anyone who's the four seed would get smoked by Georgia.
All right, so let me ask you this. Are we positive? Because I don't know a lot about Cincinnati. I'd like you to tell me a little bit more if you can. But are we even positive Cincinnati is better than Wake Forest, who is undefeated still? Looks like they have a Heisman contender at quarterback. Do we know?
I think they're much better on defense. I mean, that game the other day was, 70-56, Wake Forest and Army?
Yeah. It was weird.
The problem is Wake, Notre Dame might not be as good as they have been in the past, but Cincinnati did go beat Notre Dame in Notre Dame. Wake has played no one close to Notre Dame.
Nobody.
And they really have, Duke, UNC, NC State, Clemson, and BC left. I mean, I don't think they run the table, just the way college football works. But defensively, they're not there. What Cincinnati is.
Well, I was led to believe that a few of the teams you just said were competing for a national title this year just a few weeks ago. I mean, North Carolina and Clemson were obviously both
I never said North Carolina, but Clemson, I mean...
Plenty of people talked about North Carolina, and Clemson was everyone's favorite.
Oh, yeah. I didn't because, you know, the Sam Howell thing, that's what everyone was talking about, Sam Howell and whatnot. So, Clemson, dude, they can't score. Like, they just...
They're not good.
I only have scored more than 19... points, so 21 once a season, but they've scored 21 or less every game this season.
Well, teaser, I'm going to ask you some stupid questions about Dabo in a topic we're going to get to soon. But back to Cincinnati. So they got a good coach who probably is only there for another couple of years if they have this much success. They've got a pretty good quarterback, I think. You're mentioning their defense. You don't think they can actually compete with the other three teams that would make the top four. So is this just the best year in their school's history and it amounts to nothing? Or, you know, what's the ceiling look like?
No, they get an opportunity to play in that game. And that's what they want, right? That's what everyone says, right? Put them in. They deserve to be in. Okay, well, I mean, again, I'm not sure anyone's going to beat Georgia this year.
Yeah.
So, but give them a chance. They want in.
All right. Well, we just led the show talking about Cincinnati. So, you know, for anyone who's left with us right now, let's move to Oklahoma. And talk about Caleb Williams, who is just a delight to watch. Me describing plays on a podcast is probably not going to get anyone excited. But just go look up on Twitter this crazy fourth down conversion where he basically took the ball away from his own teammate to then rumble across, you know, the line of gain to keep the game going and basically ice the game for them. The dude's wild, a true freshman who obviously looks like a Heisman contender next year. I don't know, maybe he's sneaking into the race this year if he has enough games left. We've been talking about Oklahoma every week. They're up and down, but right now they look like they can beat anybody. Talk me off it.
Look, I think Oklahoma is still dealing with the up and down play of a freshman, a true freshman, and his play was incredible. He grabbed that ball. I'm not even sure how he saw I'm not sure how the receiver, or the running back, Brooks, saw to give the ball to Williams, but he gave it to him, and he made the play. And look, they were shut out in the first half. In the second half, he was 15 of 20, 178 yards. But the offense just didn't work very well in the first half. Now, they're on the road, and survive in advance, right? That's what you have to do. That's what Cincinnati did against Navy. That's what Oklahoma did here. Survive, advance next game. They're 8-0. So, look. Their schedule is set up pretty well till the end of the season when they're at Oklahoma State. But all they got to do is win. It doesn't really matter how they win, Gabe, as long as you get it done. Caleb Williams, that was a great play. He's not winning the Heisman. At least I don't think so. Unless he...
I think right now Vegas has him as the fifth favorite. He's on the board.
Can I give you one Heisman name that we're not talking about yet that might have to be talked about? Oregon's defensive end, Kayvon Thibodeau, has been hurt most of the year. He's come back. His last three halves. He played half against Cal, full game with UCLA. I think the number is like 20 pressures, 3 sacks, 5.5 tackles for loss in just three halves of football. There's still 5 games left.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that if he ends up with 12 sacks, especially in a year like this, he doesn't show up in New York? I think Caleb Williams, look, he could do it. He could. But C.J. Stroud, Ohio State's playing better than him. Kenny Pickett at Pittsburgh's playing better than him. It was a Heisman-esque moment. And maybe one day we look back on that and say, hey, that was the start of his Heisman push into the next year. But it was a hell of a play, Gabe. It was a heads-up play. It was a gutsy play. And it's one of those plays that we talk about the it factor of guys. You know, this is the it factor, right? The it factor is players like Williams making special plays in the moment like he did.
Yeah. Well, it reminded me of Johnny Football in his prime. Just like doing stuff that you're like, I never seen a guy do that on a football field before. But it also kind of reminded me of Johnny Football when there's the other thing you see if you go on Twitter and search the kid is he's rolling right and he just sort of waves, like very cocky, just sort of waves his receiver, go deep, go deep, go deep, like, you know, Sandlot stuff, and then throws it and underthrows him by like 15 yards and it's picked off. Now, that's the sort of live and die with this cocky freshman, right? Like that's going to be the thing that makes Oklahoma beatable against a great team is he can only get him so far, or can you win that way? I don't know.
Well, just remember, Gabe, this is his Was this his second start? His second start is...
Yeah, he got a lot of run, then he got the start, and now he's the starter.
Start against TCU, and is his first road game, okay? First road game against an opponent that no one believed could keep them close. So I just think that this is a road game. The first time he played in the road game, like he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. They get Tech at home. You know, at Baylor in a couple of weeks will be interesting. Baylor's really good on defense. But it's just, I chalk it up to first road game, honestly.
All right. Since you mentioned a couple of Heisman guys, including a few dark horses, and we're just saying Oklahoma looked good. They did what they're supposed to do. It wasn't a great blowout win, but they're not sliding out of the top four.
Just win.
But let's talk about the kid on Georgia's defense, because their defense is the star there. Jordan Davis, the tackle. What do you think about him? And could he be – you're bringing Thibodeau into this.
No, he's not going to get – I mean, he's been dominant, and he might be the most dominant interior player in the country. But you're not a defensive tackle who's not a sack guy, is not winning the Heisman Trophy. It's an odd year. I mean, right now, I think Matt Corral is still – Bryce Young's the favorite now, right? Uh-huh. Bryce Young, Corral, C.J. Stroud, Pickett, and Williams. The way the year is going, I could see there being, and I think Kayvon Thibodeau is the only defensive guy because he'll put up the sack numbers, that he could be in New York. Jordan Davis has been great, and he is terrorizing teams. He terrorized Kentucky the last time Georgia played, but he's not winning the Heisman. Or he's not even going to New York.
All right. Well, I mean, that defense might get him, they might all be getting rings or trophies, but... Okay, no Heisman for Jordan Davis. Let's talk about the biggest story of last week. That this story is only getting more intriguing as the weeks go by. So there's this massive opening in the offseason at LSU. You know, I hate to say this because everyone, likes my guy here at SC, but like there's going to be a coaching opening at SC in the offseason. You know, interim's not sticking around after the way they've played the last few weeks. So simple question. What's the better job, USC or LSU? Forget reputation. Forget, history of who won championships more recently, because I know you're going to throw that number at me.
Oh, I am.
Which job is better right now moving forward?
Okay, so LSU has won 3 championships in the last 18 years, 3 different coaches. It feels like it's easier to win an LSU championship, and I'll explain why that is. You play in a tougher conference. Absolutely right. If you go to USC right now, your only competition for recruiting is Oregon. And that's basically your only competition to win a championship right now is Oregon.
Isn't Arizona State getting some players now? I feel like they're suddenly pulling a few guys away.
But they're not winning, so it doesn't matter if they're getting players.
Might win the South this year. Never know.
I think a paper back will win the South this year. I don't know. There's no favorite.
I set myself up for that.
Yeah,
fair enough.
You did. I think that here's the difference between the jobs, and this is something that really, because I know the Pac-12 conference. Oh, by the way, Gabe, how about this? I'm terrible at NFL picks this year, but I've won 15 straight Pac-12 games.
I know it. I love it.
I bragged to you guys about that. Yeah, 15 straight the last 3 weeks. I've been undefeated the last 3 weeks. So I know my conference pretty well. Here is the difference in the jobs. To win in college football, really in the NFL too, you need to have elite offensive, defensive line play, right? You need to have the trenches shored up. If you look at all the championships, all the good teams, we talk about Jordan Davis, right? Like a big boy. You can find offensive linemen on the West Coast. They're there. But the defensive linemen are not on the West Coast. You got to go and grab them out of the South. You know, grab them out of Texas. You gotta, and that Oregon's doing that. Oregon's going and grabbing players. You might get one guy, right? Kayvon Thibodeau is from LA.
He's from right outside the Coliseum. I mean, how do they let him get away?
And USC got Corey Foreman this year, a 5-star.
Yeah.
But that's it. You're not winning a championship with one pass rusher and the rest of your guys like just dudes. So in LSU, you're in the recruiting footprint to build up the trenches where you're not at USC. You have to work harder at USC to go recruit those players to you, and it's hard to get them because they look and say, hey, you know what? Like USC just had a 5-star defensive tackle from Georgia decommit and go to Georgia. Well, of course you go to Georgia right now. You fly across the country to USC, and well, obviously it's in this season because of the coaching issue. But like, of course you're staying out in the South. That's why I think that job is easier to win at, even though USC is in an easier conference. Also, is USC, Gabe, fully committed to building and putting money into the staff, the recruiting, the extracurricular stuff that's all needed to win at a high level. And they claim Mike Bone is in that direction. Like, he's kind of been able to push people aside and be the buffer between the important boosters and the coaching staff and kind of thread that needle there, which is good. They need that. USC needs that. But I think the commitment from the very top is not the same, really, any Pac-12 school outside of maybe Oregon than at LSU, than in any Southern school, right? Like, we know this. The top, the presidents at the Pac-12 schools do not care much about sports. Sports is very low on their radar, right? And so do you have the buy-in from the community, from the higher-ups that you have at LSU? That's why I think LSU is a better job.
Yeah. There's some easy jokes there about rowing or some of the other sport, golf, some of the other sports that go look at the news at why the Pac-12 schools have cared about those sports. Yeah, I mean, look, you're obviously not wrong, and I think it doesn't help that just living out here in LA this week is a pretty obvious example. I mean, you know, everyone was obsessed with the Dodgers. Everyone's freaking out about the Lakers. A lot of people are excited about the Rams and Chargers. Chargers are off, but the Rams. You know, it's kind of hard to cut through if you're not having a fabulous year at USC. So as soon as they dump one game, and they did that early this year, it is kind of lights out. I have a hard time believing that that wouldn't be a desirable job, though. I mean, I understand all the points you're making, and I think...
Who, USC is desirable?
Yeah, I mean...
Look, I think it still is. I think, and I've made this case for years now, that the USC job is not what, and you're not this person, but like, not what USC fans think the job is. I think it's not as good as people think it is.
Yeah,
I'm curious the direction they go as far as who they get as a coach, because that'll kind of tell us, I think, what people think of the job.
Well,
but I just think there's other factors, like I mentioned, at play here that make LSU better than USC. So I'm curious, look, if LSU calls James Franklin at Penn State and USC calls James Franklin at Penn State, he's taking the LSU job.
Okay.
Like, it's that simple. In my opinion, more money is a head coach there as well. I mean, which is not all that important to some of these coaches, but some it is, right? You want to get paid what your market rate is.
I don't know, man. I think, you know, like, a lot of guys would like to live in Manhattan Beach and put their kids in LA schools.
I don't disagree. I just say that USC, man, they are lifeless. Like, they're worse than, I mean, there's a big cultural change that has to happen at USC that I don't think you have to do at LSU. Like, they are far behind you. They're uncompetitive against anyone with a pulse. I tried to think of last night. Well, I mean, I bet on Notre Dame. So, but I was trying to think to myself, when's the last time USC won a game against a good football team?
I mean, you're pop quizzing me here. They got a win or two. I guess last year was pretty wonky.
But they lost to Oregon last year, who was the best team they played last year.
Yeah, I mean, my mind goes to like Darnold in the Rose Bowl. I don't know. There's got to be a better win than that.
Yeah, that's about it. 2 years ago, they beat a Stanford team at home that was ranked, but Stanford ended up with four wins that year.
Yeah,
they lost to a ranked Washington, a ranked Notre Dame. They beat Utah in 2019. That's a good win. They beat him at home. Lost to Oregon that year. They don't win big games in forever, and like, that's a problem. So there's a lot of work to be done at USC.
All right, well, let's take a quick break, because I think there's time to spend on a few of the best teams in the country instead of one of the worst teams in the country. We'll be right back after this. I want to hear about the top four in the playoff and your top six, which might be different, Jeff. It always is. So we'll be right back. We'll look at the top four.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, Jeff, we're back. It's Jeff Schwartz, the Smarter Than You. Talk to me about the CFP. Give me the rankings and tell me where you agree or disagree and what your top six looks like.
Yeah, I was mistaken last week. I thought that the playoff rankings come out. They didn't. They come out in a couple weeks still, which is very late. I feel like it's much later than usual. And look, how do we handle rankings moving forward? Because this year has been wonky. Dude, we've had the most upsets ever, the most losses of AP top 25 teams. Like, do we just rank teams after 4 weeks? Like, what do we do? Because it's been a lot of bad rankings so far.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of guesses were wrong, and you mentioned it at the top of the show. I obviously, you know, each time I say, I think it's time we start looking at this team, they fall on their face. Oklahoma State and Penn State come to mind, probably because of the time we spent on Cincinnati earlier. They'll dump one to a team they shouldn't lose to. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I think they make some bad guesses based on last year and players coming in, and then we have to live with the bad guesses. But right now we're expecting – Georgia's one, that's easy. Cincy, we think, is two, unless maybe Oklahoma or Alabama leapfrogs. Where are you, though? Give me your look.
Look, I think it's pretty simple. Right now, it's Georgia, Cincinnati, Bama, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Michigan. I know I kind of sped through those, but there's really not a surprise there. The question is what the committee does with Alabama, right? Because I think if you were to say, okay, Alabama, Cincinnati are a neutral field, who's the favorite? The favorite is Alabama, okay? Alabama, Oklahoma, Alabama, Alabama, Ohio State, Alabama, Alabama, Michigan. So it depends on, you know, if it's second best team, then you put Bama there. But I think Cincinnati deserves right now to be two. And if Bama continues to win, maybe they're jumped at some point. As we mentioned, Oklahoma, Ohio State, we talked about. How about Michigan? Look, Michigan 7-0. They're won 33-7. Their quarterback, by the way, I think was 20 of 27 this past weekend for 120-ish yards. Like, they just don't throw the ball a lot. But they're winning with defense and rushing the football. They go to East Lansing this week, play Michigan State, who's also undefeated 7-0. Mel Tucker has been talked about as a name for a bunch of these jobs. Remember, he was at Colorado. He was D.C. at Georgia. To Colorado, went to Michigan State. Maybe he's the LSU coach very soon. So we'll kind of get that figured out between Michigan and Michigan State. Oregon is somewhere in the mix. Oregon's anywhere from 6-7-8 in the coaches poll and in the AP poll. Oregon is just every time I watch a play, I need a cigarette afterwards. It's so frustrating. And that's kind of about it at the top right now. There's some teams that you mentioned. Wake Forest doing a great job this year. They're ranked much higher than I think people imagined they would be ranked at any point this season. Old Miss is 6-1. They're ranked number 9. Kentucky is ranked. They're 6-1. They're ranked 12th. How about UTSA, University of Texas San Antonio? 8-0. They're ranked 22nd. San Diego State, the Aztecs, are 7-0. They're ranked 20th. That's kind of nice to see some of these different teams that we don't often see ranked up in the top 25.
UTSA undefeated. Would not have guessed that.
Can I tell you my UTSA story?
Please.
So I called college football games in 2017. It's the only year I've ever called them. I wasn't very good at it. I think I'd be better now, but I wasn't very good back then. I called them for stadium. And at that time, stadium, I'm not sure. I think they still call games, but it was streamed on Facebook, and there were no commercial breaks. It was just straight through because it was streamed online. All right, so I get the call like Monday of doing the game, and Monday I get a stomach bug. It goes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Pretty bad game. Like, you know, it looked a little bit like Oregon's uniforms in the toilet bowl sometimes, right? Yeah, not very good. I get to San Antonio on Thursday night or Friday, and it goes away. I feel good Friday. Saturday, it's game day. Take 3 Imodium, show up to the Alamo Dome. UTSA Rice, calling the game. I tell my partner, like, look, man, I've had the stomach problem. Might be an issue. Heads up. If I got to bounce, I got to bounce. All right. So about 7 minutes left in the game, stomach starts rumbling. I'm like, oh, jeez. You guys know that feeling. Sorry to be a little bit gross, but you know that I call it the poop attack, right? Like, you know, it starts kind of grumble in there, right? A little grumble, especially when you get closer to home. I call it the GPS. Like, you just, your body knows you're close to the toilet. All right. Everyone knows. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to yourself. You all have this feeling. And so it kind of rumbles. And the funny part is, so I called my way through that. My dad texted me too and was like, hey, you sound kind of different. Like, I'm like, yeah, because I have to go to the bathroom. Okay, so about 2 minutes left in the game, it is go time. So after second down play, I'm taking my headset off and I run to the bathroom. I get it in, got to do what I got to do. And I make it back by the end of the fourth down play. So it's third down. They call a 30-second timeout. And I put the headset back on as the fourth down play ended. Might be the greatest accomplishment of my entire life.
That's really impressive. And and no one in the booth felt the effects of what you did.
No, Jason just called his way through it, man. Pro.
So when I was in I was in college, no poop involved in this story, but I went to GW and they had us for some reason call Georgetown football games. Georgetown was 1AA at the time. I don't know what they are now. They did not have anyone who knew how to call football games. For some reason, they wanted the people who called GW basketball games to call Georgetown football games, which included me. I didn't play football, had no business calling a football game. And because of some technical difficulties, we never came back from a break we were supposed to come back from, but the game kept going. And there was a whole series of downs that happened, and my play-by-play partner recreated play-by-play at a normal pace, and I then reacted in real time to him faking it, and we caught all the way up to game action.
That's incredible.
And that guy went on to be a professional broadcaster.
Really?
Not me. Yeah, now I'm here with you, but he called games for a living. Yeah, he was really good.
Wow. That's
Yeah, the great Tom Kolker. Go look him up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's not, I don't know if he's doing it anymore, but he had a bunch of years doing it.
That's incredible. It's some of the school broadcasts are kind of fun. A lot of people start out doing those. Do these stadium broadcasts, you know what I felt bad for? So sideline reporters. Like I had Kristen Balboni and Shea Peppler, now at ESPN. That's who I worked with. And they were great.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to fill so much time. Because normally you just go to them and give me a tidbit about a story or an injury report. But because we were live the whole time, it was like, go down. Hey, let's talk to Kristen now. And she had to do some like ridiculous 5-minute segment on like how the fans are feeling on social media and some poll they put up and talk to fans in the stands. It was rough for all of us. No breaks is bad.
I can't imagine doing 5 minutes of filler on UTSA football, but hey. They're undefeated, so love to them.
We just spent 5 minutes filling on UTSA football.
Yeah, we kind of did. I mean, you mainly told a poop story, but technically it was a UTSA story.
It was in the Alamo Dome, it was about UTSA. So fits if the shoe fits, right?
I went to San Antonio one time, and I was on a bachelor party, and we went to the restaurant. Do you know the restaurant Dick's Last Resort?
No, am I supposed to?
I didn't know
it's a pop culture reference.
No, I don't know what it is. I didn't know what it was either. I guess it's very popular there. I did not know what it was, but apparently their shtick is the waiters are like famously insulting. Like they come over and instantly talk shit to you.
Okay.
And it's, I guess if you're expecting it, it's really funny. But I was not expecting it, and I like got into it with the waiter, which only made him go further. And I didn't understand. I was like, what is...
What did he say to you?
Oh, he came in red hot. I mean, he was like, I can't even say the things that he said to me on this podcast.
Like, was that bad?
Went right at it.
Did he call your triathlon a mini triathlon?
It was a little saltier than that. But that was my only experience with San Antonio. Otherwise, that was on the Riverwalk. Otherwise, a nice town. But all right. So, Jeff, to circle it back for the football fans here. Has anything changed in your overall prediction here? Are we still talking about Georgia-Alabama SEC final, and the winner of that is the clear and obvious favorite overall? Did anything change?
I'm not sure. I think if Alabama beats Georgia, either or could win the championship. We'll probably have a Bama-Georgia championship like we had a couple years ago if that ends up happening. If you want to avoid two SEC teams, Georgia has to beat Alabama in the SEC championship game, and I think Alabama's might, again... Still would be the second best team in the country, but two losses and they're out of the playoff. Like that's part of it. And that's, the 4-team playoff puts that pressure on these teams, right? 12-team playoff would not. Bama would be in. They'd be the 5 seed or 6 seed, whatever it is. But man, this puts a lot of pressure on you to win each one of your games. And that's what it comes down to. And if they've lost two losses, even though, again, might be the second best team in trouble, they're not in the playoff.
All right. Well, I still see a lot of paths for a few teams we've talked about. Ohio State's far from dead. Your Oregon Ducks are far from dead. Michigan has the biggest test of the year probably this weekend until, of course, they have to play Ohio State. They're far from dead. Oklahoma is exciting as hell, but they could trip up. Who knows? I mean, you know, there's a lot still left to talk about. So it's been a fun week. We got an NFL show on Tuesday. By the way, my comedy god stole my bit, and we're going to play it on the Tuesday show. Larry David and I are...
I was going to ask you if we were going to play that.
Oh, so we are going
to. Larry David, dude, it was... Can we play the whole thing? It was incredible.
I mean, I don't know if he listens to this podcast, Jeff, but he basically took what I was saying and made it funny.
He made it very funny. He even went so far as to eliminate the goalpost. It was an incredible, incredible bit. So yeah, guys, I got a bunch of reviews. I really appreciate it. Rate and review, subscribe. We really enjoy seeing that. If you leave your questions too, we answer them on the podcast as we get going this week. A big NFL show coming up tomorrow. My Chiefs, who boy, oh boy. Yeah, so we'll talk a lot about them. I wrote like a 2,000-word article for Fox. The Chiefs will not be happy with that, as they all read all my stuff. So
you could do that with two words. They stink.
They do. Yeah, they stink. All right, we're powered by the Varsity Podcast Network as usual. Please, again, leave me a review, 5 stars preferably. That'd be the best way to do that, and leave a question as well. And we'll be back tomorrow. Take care, everybody.